This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you excited? No, it doesn't seem like it.
I'm nervous. That's okay.
It's just me. We're just talking. Pop of the morning, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. As always, I'm your one true host, Jazzy J, joined not so as usual by my wife, my one true co-host in life and in love, Beth.
Hello.
Hello. How are you this morning, my dear?
I'm good.
You're good. Okay. We get the kids to school, okay, this morning.
The kids are off to school.
Yeah.
I am... living the life of three children in full-time school now.
I know. That is like, it's such a vast change for, probably mostly for you.
Yeah, I'm a new woman, honestly.
You're a new woman. How have you been handling the transition into all three kids going to school now?
I was a little sad thinking like, oh, Nick and Nate are done with preschool. They're going to kindergarten. They're getting big. But preschool was like 3 hours, and there were a lot of days we didn't have it, and it didn't start till 9. So now they go off to school with Luke. I take them at like 7:30, and then nobody gets off the bus till close to 3. So it's like,
yeah,
there's an entire day. Yeah. I have not had this much time on my hands since
maybe before. Ever.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, before we had kids, but then I had a like.
No, yeah. Even before, I guess like summers,
like
maybe.
Summer break.
Yeah. Summer break. Yeah.
I will start working part-time next week. I teach part-time, but I've had a couple weeks of just like long days.
Yeah. I know that there have been days where I feel like I'm like super jealous where you're just like, yeah, I'm dropping the kids off and I'm going to go play Mahjong and then we're going on a hike this afternoon and then I got book club tonight and I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah. Fun. Yeah. I'll be at work.
I know. It's kind of crazy. But then some days you're like, oh, yeah, I'm at work. Sorry, I have to go to Japan.
That's true.
Sorry,
that's
I'm at
true.
Work. I have to go to the Pokemon World Championship. And then we're taking a trip to Disneyland tomorrow. And mm-hmm. So, you know.
You know, it all evens out in the end.
And I haven't just been playing all day.
No, I know you haven't just been playing all day.
To do work, too, and
absolutely.
Make our house clean.
Our house has been looking better than ever.
Cleaner than it's ever been.
Cleaner than
sure.
ever. There's like decorating happening. It's fantastic.
I'm getting really into Facebook Marketplace.
I feel like Facebook Marketplace has got like a certain like language to it. Like, sometimes how you interact with the people selling or how stuff is listed. Like, for example, if I'm on there looking at, like, I don't go on Facebook Marketplace very much, but every now and then I'll like look for like, you know, maybe someone in Roanoke's just like dumping a lot of Pokemon cards or something, you know, and they're just wanting to get sure. rid of it cheap. And I'll be like, I'm gonna pick that up. But if you look for it, there will be like, what will happen is like, 50 listings will come up for $1. And what $1 means is I want you to see this listing and then negotiate with me for some massive sum.
That's true. I don't like that. Or they'll say like $123, which really just means like everything's different. And I'm like, make different listings for each thing.
Right. Yeah.
And then some people say, I will not respond to, hello, is this available? And I'm like, maybe if you sell all the time, I don't know. That's the automatic response you can like click on. But I feel like it's a little harsh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm way too nice though. Like when I sold some stuff, like, oh my gosh, I sold this like changing table piece for like cheap. And this lady like ran an in-home daycare and she was like, oh, I don't drive. Can you come deliver it to me? And I know I'm like such a chump, but I was like, fine.
Yeah.
Like, and I did.
Well, good for you.
I was trying to get rid of it. And I was like, oh, she seems like a nice old lady. Mm-hmm. So I'm a drunk.
But then was it like an hour drive or something?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
It was. Honestly, I've had some weird experiences with Facebook Marketplace, like where I've been way too trusting. Like, I feel like some people are really nervous with it.
Yeah.
But like this one guy wanted our old coffee maker, and then he came by and I was like, do you want it? Like, do you want to see how it works? And he was like, oh, sure. And then I had to
make coffee.
I made this man a coffee in our kitchen and he drank it. And he was like, yeah, this is great coffee. I'm going to buy it for my restaurant. And like it could have gone a really sketchy direction.
Right. Yeah.
And I as that was happening, I was like, I don't know how to get out of this. And I should never have.
He shouldn't have offered to make you coffee.
Yeah. But here we are. And you know what? It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine in the end. Yeah. So I guess
the lady yesterday that I bought something from invited me into her house, and then her dogs were like scratching me up. They're like these little yippy dogs. Mm. My legs were all scratched up, and I'm like, I don't know how to get out of this. I was just like, oh, I'm talking to the dogs in my little dog voice, but I'm like, ow, like this thing is scratching my entire legs.
Right.
I don't know how to like be a little assertive sometimes. Like assertive and enough. Be like, your dog is scratching me.
You just have to treat all of the grown-ups like they're our kids. And there you go.
I can do it with kids. I can't do it with grown-ups. Problem.
You don't want Beth to turn her teacher voice on you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It happens. I do it to other kids sometimes. Yeah.
Mer. Quiet down. Get in line. No, not like that.
I don't think quite like that.
Not like that. No. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm glad you're enjoying your newfound freedom. I was saying, I was jealous, but then like today, I think you're here this morning, which is like something we couldn't have done before.
Yeah.
Which is really great. And then I think you're going to go play Mahjong after this.
I'm playing Mahjong.
Yes.
I'm into Mahjong.
Mahjong
is the people of the pop know about Mahjong?
Oh, the people of the pop know that you're into Mahjong.
Okay.
Yes, they do. I have been telling the tale. I was telling Ben when you first got into it, I was like, I have a prediction that by the end of the year your wife will at least be asked to play Mahjong. And then sure enough, I mean, I felt pretty comfortable because, you know, you and Alice are just friends, and
even Alice surprised me because she's not as into games as like we are sometimes.
Yeah.
But she was into Mahjong.
Yes.
And I think now she was like thinking about how she could plan a Mahjong event.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, we had some fun.
You got her hooked. You got her hooked at the lake last weekend. Yeah. Beth. Oh, my
it was
gosh.
So fun.
Yeah, I know, at the lake last weekend, Beth had like my mom and my sister-in-law, Emily, and Alice. And they were all out there on the porch, just like zhonging it up for hours while me and Ben and Ty and my dad were watching the Hokies lose.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. It was delightful.
It was. It was very good. Good time. So I'm glad everyone got hooked and you're spreading the good zhong word
It's just fun. It's pretty.
It's pretty.
The tiles make this lovely little sound.
Yeah.
I'm not too competitive with it. It's just fun. Just to have a reason to hang out.
Yeah, I know. It's fun watching you get into it, too, because there's like Mahjong looks like it is a game that is ripe for accessorizing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could have much fancier tiles. You could have much fancier little racks. You could have fancy mats to play with. And then,
right. And what's so funny is most husbands, I think, from talking to my friends, are like, you want to spend how much on a game?
Mm-hmm.
You need all this stuff.
Yeah.
And we have a set that actually Jonathan's mom got him for Christmas a few years ago because it's actually my set. Technically it's Jonathan's. But really, it seems to have turned into more of a ladies game these days.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, not that there's anything girly about it, but it just seems like that's the people who are playing it.
Right.
But they're like very pretty sets and pretty mats. And I was telling Jonathan, he's like, you should totally get a mat. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, you should get one of these sets. These are so cool.
You got to get the stuff.
I'm like, you think I should spend $500 on a Mahjong set? And he's like, go for it.
You know, if it makes you happy, you got to get stuff. I'm just not one to speak because I I mean, I love game accessories and stuff like that. So like I have, you know, if you're playing like Pokemon, like you also have like a play mat that typically you, you know, play the game upon. And you'll have one, your opponent will have one. Normally, like, you don't have to. You could just play straight on the table like some, you know, chump, I guess. But
straight on the table.
Straight on the table? Ugh, gross. No, you got to have the mat. It slides nicer and it just looks fun. But, like, realistically, you just need one, you know? But I've probably got, like, 12.
For the record, I did not buy the $500 Mahjong set.
Well, that's, yeah.
Just bought a mat.
You just bought a mat, yeah. Which is very cool. It's cool. It's got a bunch of like little like reminder rules on it and stuff, which is nice.
Yeah, I know. Jonathan like was like, oh, we can probably get you like a Pokemon mat. I'm like, no.
No, no. There's like a Mahjong mat.
No, I want a pretty Mahjong.
Yeah. Okay. We got it.
We did.
It's there. Yeah. And then we're going, but then after that, we're just going, you know, we're going out to lunch again. So, or not again. We're just going out to lunch today as well. So,
yes. Back to the,
yeah.
What's happening today?
Yeah. Back to what's happening today.
Yes. I know. We get to go to lunch today with some friends.
I know. I can't wait. It's going to be super duper great. Especially in my crazy couple of weeks here of super prepping for tour. Which has been very busy here at the office.
I believe. Sure.
I know. We might be filming as many as like 4 episodes of things today. So I feel like I'm going to be, really tired tonight. But tonight, we're also going to have movie night at our house. And we are maybe finally going to watch K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yes, we have heard. We need to watch it.
We have heard the little kernels loud and clear, as well as everyone else on every live stream I've been on and everyone I've talked to.
Everyone at elementary school is talking about it.
I know. Yeah.
But despite all of this hype, Luke still insists he doesn't want to watch it.
He insists. Although he watched the trailer this past weekend like 10 times. He's like, it's just the best trailer I've ever seen.
He likes some of the songs because he's heard them now on like the radio.
Right. He likes the songs. He likes the trailer. He doesn't want to watch the movie.
He just likes to be disagreeable.
Sometimes. Sometimes. Luke can be like that, for sure. For sure. But we'll see if we can get him to watch it tonight or if he'll have to go occupy himself elsewhere.
Yeah, he may just have to find something else to do.
Well, we're doing it. We're going to watch it. Because me and, you know what? Me and Beth are just starting to, we're losing our foothold in this, you know, the cultural awareness.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Can't have it.
Maybe there's some super Carlin brother theories to be had. About
That's what I'm K-pop saying, man. Writers. Like people of Tyler, my youngest brother was like, dude, I feel like they wrote this movie like with your channel in mind. I was like, oh, is that right? And he was like, it just feels like there's so much theory fodder. And I was like, well, we got to get on this. So be on the lookout. K-pop theories, you know, probably like in the end of or like in October, maybe. Oh, everything else, I know by then it's like no one cares. K-pop Demon Hunter is out. I doubt it. My prediction is that K-pop Demon Hunter ends up like sweeping Halloween in a big way this year.
I've already heard a few people talking about it. Seems like they're gonna have to rush to like put out the costumes, though.
I know, or else just have a lot of homemade costumes.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Well, coming down the pipes there. Anyway, okay. So one of the things we do here on the show, Beth, is called, and I didn't tell you this ahead of time, so maybe you didn't prepare anything. But is we have what's called the Wicks of the Peak, as it were, which is just the picks of the week, which would be is there anything you are currently reading or watching at the moment to recommend to the little kernels?
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, we just watched Love is Blind UK.
Yes, we did watch Love is Blind UK.
Love is Blind. I love that show. It is such a guilty pleasure of mine. I think the UK version is even more delightful because of their lovely accents.
Yeah, so they're all all their charming accents, posh accents.
I thought it was a great season.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be my recommendation.
Yeah, it was a very fun season. I would say it was better than like some of the American seasons we've watched. Here in the recent, I feel like the Love is
Blind. Should we tell what the concept is if people don't
know? Sure. Go for it.
So if you don't know, it is a reality dating show where people are in these pods. So all the men are on one side, all the women are on another side. And they can't see each other and they go on like speed dating basically at first and, just have lots of long talks over the course of like 10 days. And then the idea is that at the end of this time period, if you want to continue being together, you have to get engaged, which is ridiculous.
But
you have to get engaged sight unseen and then you get to meet each other.
Yeah.
And then they like go on like a honeymoon and then they live together for like 2 weeks. And then you're supposed to get married at the end of all this if you, you know, fall madly in love. So it's ridiculous, obviously,
yes,
concept, but quite fun to watch play out.
It is very fun. And it seems like they all, there's always like the same report that like everyone thinks it's crazy, but then they're like, no, but like the pods are crazy. Like you just like, you're so focused on your relationship and what you want. And it like brings out this like crazy deep connection between two people or something.
Right.
Yeah. But then they like, you know, crash back into the real world and it's like, oh, things are different now and whatever.
Yeah. I think that people also, it's really easy to be aspirational. Like, this is the person I want to be. So you spend a lot of time like thinking about that and talking about that.
But yeah.
Maybe the person you want to be is not exactly the person you are.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Or maybe the person you, and then that's you're like selling. It's like, this is the right person I want to be. And the other person's like, that person sounds amazing. But then maybe you're not quite there yet.
Yeah, or all of our best selves sound
yeah
like a great partner.
Sound like a great partner, of course. Yeah, duh. So yeah, it was a really fun season. I would check that out as well. I've talked about this before, but I'll go ahead and recommend it to the listeners again, because I just finished the fifth book in the Dungeon Crawler Carl series.
You seem in deep.
I'm in deep. I'm on floor 8, you know, as it were. We're deep in the dungeon now.
So when Jonathan was listening to the first book, it was I don't know. We were on a road trip somewhere.
We were coming back from DC, I think, because okay, we saw The Cursed Child.
So I was like napping in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
But I was like waking up. I was like,
what's
in
your
and
perception
out
of Dungeon Crawler,
well,
Carl?
I was coming in and out of being awake while this was like playing already from the middle. So I think the concept already seems like a fever dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're like half asleep, half awake, it was very much like, what is happening?
What is happening? Yeah.
So it didn't exactly make me want to read them, but I get enough of your like it's an interesting concept, but I haven't like wanted to read it myself.
Okay. All right. But well, even if Beth doesn't want to, you should, because then I can talk to you about it. But what's kind of funny is that like a lot of times it's almost better that you don't want to read it, because then I don't have to worry about spoilers. I can just tell you about it.
That's true.
Yeah.
You have been.
Yeah. And I don't feel like it's like, wait, don't tell me that because I might read it. And it's like, well, honestly, it's the kind of thing where I don't even think it matters about spoilers, because if I tell you what's happening, there's no way you're going to have the context to understand it.
Yeah, basically. Like,
yeah.
I know. Actually, you start talking about it and I glaze over after like 10 seconds.
Yeah,
like,
thank you.
I don't actually care, but I don't want to say that. So.
Well, thank you so much for listening. Anyway. Oh man. Okay. This is what it's like, you know, being married, you guys. You know, you have to pretend you care sometimes.
Well, I listen.
I know you do.
It's not that I don't care. But,
I know. I know what you mean.
You know, I don't really care.
In any case. All right. So I figured since you're on the show this week, we could spend some time getting the listeners to get to know you, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't. Sure. I know Ben and Alice did a very similar version of this show, but I have not listened to that episode. So I actually don't know what they talked about. The people told me they talked about Alice doing pageant stuff
and
for a long part of it.
All that I kept hearing was that Ben gave a fantastic interview.
Oh, a fantastic interview.
Are you prepared?
Oh, man. I mean, I don't know.
To give such a fantastic interview.
I don't know. We're going to find out, I guess. I figured. Okay. So I figured we will start not just about you, but like about us, like about our relationship,
okay,
as it were. So
oh boy.
I know, prepare to get so deep here on the pod.
Great.
No, not really. So I wanted to hear your version of our first date oh so long ago, and like what it was like from your end, like preparing for it or thinking about it, or like what led up to it. And I don't even know if I've told that. So I'm sure I've told that story on the pop at some point, but what do you remember about that night? Way long ago. But okay. I think it was April 1st, 2006. Yeah.
It was April Fool's Day. Because they're okay. So it was my first date ever.
Ever.
Which feels embarrassing. It shouldn't feel embarrassing.
No, it's not embarrassing.
I was 17 and I had never been on a date.
Okay.
So, which, you know, that's fine. But at the time, that felt like embarrassing, I guess.
Okay.
There was a tiny part of me that was afraid that it was some kind of joke and that it was a really mean April Fool's Day prank.
Oh
my
gosh.
It was like a tiny, tiny, like, you know, you that, have those little insecurities.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't like a joke, is it? This
that would have been real, right? That would have made me just the meanest person ever.
It would.
To just go out of my way to elaborately ask you out just to set you, just to stand you up.
I feel like that's the kind of thing that would happen on like a teen movie that I've never actually seen people bullied that way in real life.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure it has happened, but it was not, in fact, a joke.
It was not, no.
You actually did like me.
Yes, I did. Very much. As you can tell.
Clearly. I'm trying to remember. Okay, so we went to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I offered to pay for this movie because I felt like I should offer, but I felt like Jonathan should, as the invitee of the date, should have paid for it. Which I don't necessarily agree with all the time forever, but in this instance of me, 17-year-old me thought that he probably should pay, and he did take me up on my offer to pay, and he did not pay for me. So I felt a little awkward.
I have no recollection of that.
He doesn't remember that. I remember that vividly. I was like, okay,
sorry.
Awkward.
Sorry.
And we saw the movie Failure to Launch with Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew McConaughey.
Yes, we did. Yep.
I don't remember that much else. We went to Mill Mountain Coffee
afterwards. We went to Mill Mountain Coffee afterwards when it was at where Rainbow is now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. Had you been there before? I don't even remember. Maybe you had. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
probably.
We went to go get coffee afterwards.
Yeah, I think I'd been there before.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
That was the place to be, sort of.
It was kind of a hangout.
Yeah, it was a little bit. And then when we were chatting there, I discovered that you had never seen the show Friends.
Okay. Is that how it went down?
Yeah, that's how I remember it anyway.
Okay. And then we went back to your house to watch Friends.
Mm-hmm. Then we went back to my house to watch Friends.
And your friends showed up.
And my friends showed up while we were watching Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it John and Mike and Ben?
It was John and Mike and Ben. Okay. Yeah. The GMA was in full force. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember. Were they like looking in the window from outside first and then they came out?
That sounds about right.
I feel like that's what happened. Mm-hmm.
That window desperately needed a curtain. Desperately. I don't know what function. In my parents' basement, how many basements even have windows, you know?
This is a nice basement.
I mean, it's a nice basement. It has like a walkout into the backyard, but like on the front half of it, there, like where, like right next to where the couch is, there is a window at basically ground level because that's, you know, where you are outside, and people could just walk by and just stare right in the window, right at you playing whatever video game you're playing or being on whatever date you were on. And I feel like it happened more than once, you know.
I mean, I would say lots of windows are at ground level where someone could look in if they were
no, but I mean at ground level, like the bottom of the window was at your feet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you had to like at ground level.
Bend down.
Yes, you had to bend down to look through it, you know?
Right.
Like, felt like it could have just as easily not been there.
Well, I'm sure they were just trying to embarrass you.
I'm sure they were.
So just in general, I think it was a decent date, but I felt awkward because it was my first date.
It was your first date.
I was
ever.
Happy to be on a date, but I certainly felt
right.
Awkward, because I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, I don't know what to say. Do we hold hands? How does this work?
Yeah. I don't remember. Did we hold hands? I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. Oh no. I don't know. I know we were already we were already going to prom. Like
you say that, but I don't. Was that the case?
I think so.
Because prom would have been a month and a half away. But maybe you do ask people to prom that. I don't know.
I don't know. Would it have, I mean, I that that's,
would you have asked me to prom before you ever asked me on a date?
I don't know, because I think so. That's how I remember it, but I guess I could be wrong. It was a very long time ago.
It was 19 years ago.
Yeah, man. Which is crazy. I think we just figured this out. We recently crossed a cool milestone wherein you and I have now been to in each other's lives longer than we haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider like the first like 5 years or so of your life, you don't even remember. So
yeah. Right. So yeah. Like you don't, you know, that basically, and yeah, you were 17. So we were, yeah. Well, and it's good. Like you went that long without even me being a part of your life, you know, and vice versa.
Yeah.
And then boom, here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. Married with three kids.
Gosh, now that's wild to think about if you could have told those selves.
Yeah, those selves that yeah, you guys are going to get married and have three kids someday. It's going to be crazy.
Yep.
Yeah, it's all starting right here.
Yep.
At a movie called Failure to Launch.
On April Fool's
Day. On April Fool's. Whoopsie. Yeah, that was a really bad combination of date and movie title to launch your relationship on. but it all worked out. It all worked out. Okay, so that was our first date. Yeah, I got crashed by my friends in the basement who just barged right on in. You know, whatever. Of course, who cares?
The way friends do.
The way friends do.
Friends and brothers.
Friends and brothers. Yeah, I feel like that was maybe more of like a. I don't think it was the only time that ever happened between our friend group, or just be like, oh, it was my kind of date. Let's just go crash it. You know.
Yeah.
Let's just go show right. up. Yeah, that does sound like us. good times. Oh man. Are there so that was our first date. Are there any other like specific dates from back when we were dating that like stand out in your mind as like, oh yeah, that was like a really cool one or a unique one or a memorable one or anything?
Well prom was pretty cool.
Prom was pretty cool. That was fantastic.
Once again, I had never had dates before, so I never had a date to prom or like a school dance. I'd only been to a couple. I didn't go to prom junior year.
Okay.
I think I went to like two homecomings with friends.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my first like date to a school dance.
Right. Oh, wow.
I know.
It's just your first everything.
I was a late bloomer. But I actually, what is funny is I was not like a cool kid kind of person as a teenager. I was like in the marching band and I was, you know, in like lots of like advanced classes, and I was just like kind of nerdy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great, but I was not someone that would have been considered like a cool popular kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I was well liked. Like I was just friendly to people, and
yeah,
I was friendly with lots of people from different groups. So for the nominations for like prom, well, you just like voted on like prom king and prom queen. And then like the runner up was like prom princess and prom prince. So I won prom princess.
Yes, you did.
On the prom court.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. Like I would not have thought that, but I think people just liked me, I guess.
Yeah. Cause like I remember when like in our high school, the way they did like homecoming court was that like the like everyone had to like there was like five nominations like across the entire grade. Like
each grade got one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then each grade had one or whatever. So but then for prom it was like different. It was like every single like homeroom class could just nominate a few people to be on the ballot. So instead of it being five people you were voting for, there was like a list of like 30 people that were on the prom ballot.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was something. It was like a really long list. And I remember as I was going to fill it in, like, I, you know, you and I were already like going to prom together, and I obviously voted for you. But I remember seeing your name on there and I was like, oh my gosh, she's gonna win. Like it was just like, it just felt like I remember seeing your name and just realizing like in that moment, like, oh my gosh, like there's no doubt in my mind that you were going to win. This despite not being on any other like courts or whatever the whole time. I was like, because what's going to happen, 1,000,000% what's going to happen is that everyone in the band, which is the largest number of people, is going to see you on there as the obvious person to vote for. Because
the band wasn't even that big though.
It wasn't that big, but it doesn't matter. It's still the largest like plurality of people.
Maybe, but only seniors could vote.
I don't know. Maybe it was a larger group than that too. But that was my reasoning or thought in the moment. I was like, everyone that is going to like put a lot of eyes on that. But yeah, you're right. Like, even in like all your like advanced classes and stuff like that, it seemed like you were very well liked by like everybody, I think.
I mean,
obviously you won prom princess, you know? Yeah.
Pretty cool.
You got it. So that was great. I was not on the ballot at all. So you had me beat either way, which didn't matter because I still got to be out the court because I was your date. Boom. Snuck in there anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was super fun. That was like, that was easily the best school dance I went to by like leaps and bounds.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was, I just remember that being a really fun night. And we, it was at the Hotel Roanoke, mm-hmm. which that's like where we stayed the night we got married. So like, that's kind of cool.
Yes, that was very cool.
So we
cool.
had prom
like,
there.
And yeah, that was fun.
It's just like a really iconic Roanoke place too. So it's like a really nice venue to have prom and.
Yeah.
There was like a really good dinner. We all took pictures at John Jennings' house, which yep. I felt bad because like all the parents were there taking pictures and like I didn't know this was like a thing. So my parents didn't get to come take pictures with everyone else. I think my mom was like, wait, what?
Oh, well, we took pictures at your house too.
Well, sure. But yeah. I think, you know, they would
yeah,
have been,
yeah.
Like to have been a part of the thing.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely.
And then there was after prom, which was like a whole extra party.
Yeah, back at the school. Yeah. And then there's after prom.
Which was just hanging out with friends.
Yeah, just hanging out with friends back at the Jennings again.
That's true.
Yeah. And then we were up. I want to say, I don't know if we stayed awake literally all night.
I think we did.
Yeah. I mean, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just up all night hanging out. You know, yeah. It was a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I drove you home the next morning. That's when we had our first kiss.
It's true.
Yay.
Yeah.
What a magical night and morning.
It was a good one.
It was a good one. Man, that's fun to think about. I haven't. Yeah, it really was such a fun night. I feel like even when I look at those pictures now, it's just like such a fun memory.
I know. Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah. And then like the like you wore a desert coral. That was the color of your dress. Oh, I want to yeah. say. And then that
I think that was the color of like the tux.
The tux.
Stuff you got.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
The vest
yeah.
and stuff.
The
yeah.
vest and stuff. Okay. But then that ended up being the colors we used for our wedding.
Right.
Yeah.
We did pick coral.
Yeah. That was, it was like gray and coral.
Which is a very 2015 color palette.
Very 2015 of us.
Now it's like, oh, I would never pick those colors, but it was special.
Yes, it was special. It meant something to us.
It did.
You know, yeah, yeah. So that was good.
It's true.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. So often when I regale you all with my business ideas, they seem to come from the far away past. But more recently, I had contemplated trying out a sawmill. Not, you know, some like huge structure or building, just like a small little guy that I could use to break down lumber on my land and potentially use it to, you know, build a house or more likely make a bench. But just like running a business, I quickly learned that it requires like 53 different hats, not counting the required hard hat for safety. Cutting, processing, drying, all before you've hammered in a single nail. And it reminds me so much of running a business. Not every task requires a whole person or employee. And starting out, those expenses you can't always afford. It means you end up doing a little bit of a lot of different tasks. And that's where Shopify is absolutely clutch. Shopify is the ultimate way to get your business started in no time. With their easy-to-use templates, you can start selling right away, and from there, it can help you to write product descriptions, touch up photos, track inventory, sales, and so much more. So turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/poppop. Let's go to shopify.com/poppop. One last time for safety, shopify.com/poppop. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Washington Red Raspberries. You know how eating healthy sometimes feels like a punishment? Like, congrats, here is your charred, yeah, hard pass. But that's why I'm personally obsessed with frozen Washington Red Raspberries, because these are not just any raspberries. They are grown by American family farmers in Washington State, picked at peak ripeness and frozen within hours so they keep all that fresh off the field flavor. You know the stuff. There's no added sugar, just pure fruit magic, and they're loaded with fiber, vitamin C, and antioxidants. Oh, and they're only 80 calories a cup. Boom! Mic drop. Or, I mean, my mic is actually attached to like a stand, but you know. I personally toss them in smoothies, swirl them into yogurt, even sprinkle them onto oatmeal. It's just an instant upgrade. They're naturally low in sugar and, like I said, super high in fiber, and honestly, one of the best kept secrets in the freezer aisle. And you can pretty much snag them anywhere. Costco, Kroger, Meijer, and Winco Foods. Just look for Product of the US on the bag. Bonus, keep an eye out for gems like the Kirkland's Three Berry Blend Muffins at Costco or Smucker's Peanut Butter and Raspberry Uncrustables. Those are actually Addison's favorite. So support local American farmers and get year-round flavor. Yes, please. Hit up redraz.org. That's redraz.org for recipes, tips, and more raspberry greatness.
Okay. But so you mentioned marching band earlier.
I did.
You did as a bit that like, I feel like you mentioned it kind of in passing, but also it was like a pretty massive part of your life for a very long time.
Yeah. It was like a part of my personality.
Yes. I would absolutely say it was a part of your personality. It was like a massive thing. So like how did you end up getting involved in marching band to begin with? What was your like, yes, I want to go do that?
That's a good question because I don't totally remember. Like,
you just sort of like, I'm just going to marching band today.
Like, in middle school, you can do like concert band. So I played the flute and I was in the band. And it was actually funny, like, the summer before sixth grade is when middle school starts here. And that's when you could start band. But the summer before middle school, there was like a silent auction, I guess, at the end of elementary school. And my parents bought me flute lessons with this lady who our family knew. So I like took flute lessons that summer. So then I was like just a notch ahead. Like I already knew. Like,
yeah, you were like a few steps ahead on the flute.
So it was like, well, obviously I'm going to play the flute because I had flute lessons. So that's like how I kind of stumbled into that. And then I think I was not someone who ever played sports or was like athletic in any way. I never did dance. I was also kind of a big chicken when I was little. I was like a big baby. Was scared to do anything. So I had never been a part of like organized. I'd been a Girl Scout, but I was never in like sports or teams or anything. So being part of the band, I think I really embraced because it was like, oh, finally this thing that I get to do that I'm a part of. And I was like good at it.
Right.
So that just felt new to me. So then when I went to high school, I actually tried out for, it was called the Flag Corps at our school. Sometimes it's called Color Guard. I tried out for that at the end of eighth grade and I did not make it, which is so funny. Like, I can't imagine what life would have been like if I did make it.
Oh, I know. Isn't
that
weird? I'm
so glad I didn't make it.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I remember in eighth grade, that was the year that my family had moved to Roanoke, just from like Franklin County. So really, really very short move, but we switched schools or whatever. And I was so, so upset about the move in the moment.
I heard these stories.
I know. Eighth grade was not a great year for me overall. I know. But like my one solace was like I would just go out in the cul-de-sac and just like shoot baskets like endlessly. And like my goal was like I'm gonna like try out and for the basketball team, basically, at the new school, and that'll be like what I do. Like that was my goal, and I was like so dead set on it. And I remember going to the tryouts and like the first night of tryouts going like super amazing. Like, I mean, they were, you know, like I felt like I was like, I feel like I stood out. I made a bunch of shots. They had everyone go shoot free throws. Like, I made all the free throws. And then we came back on the second night and I felt like I think it still went fairly well, but I guess it didn't go good enough because I was like, I obviously didn't make it.
You didn't make it.
I didn't make it.
That's so sad.
It was because it was like the only thing keeping me going there for a while. And it was like, and I remember walking to school the next day and like just seeing like there was another guy who I'd only known from the tryouts, and he just was like, hey, did you make it? And I was just like, nope. And he looked baffled, like just didn't understand it at all. And I was just like, I don't know, I didn't make it. And yeah, so that was a real bummer. But
that was like making me tear up listening to that story.
Oh no,
really,
I know.
Sad.
It was sad. It was a really a big blow at the time.
It might have been a bit political. These things
I know
can go like that sometimes.
It could have been a bit
political. Didn't know anybody.
well, yeah, didn't know anybody. And then I think I also came to find out later that if you've ever heard of J.J. Redick, which probably you have, he's presently the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Kind of a big deal.
Has a podcast with LeBron James. Basically took college basketball by storm when he played at Duke. Played in the NBA for a very long time. Was the first NBA player to also like have a like podcast, the Young Man in the Three. Really has done a lot with his basketball career, but went to our high school.
Yeah.
Went to our high school.
I remember.
And he would have been a senior when we were in eighth grade. So basketball, as you can imagine, was real, real big deal at the time because we had like just the biggest.
Oh, and that's when they won the state championship.
That's when they won the state championship. When we were in eighth grade. So they,
I went there with John Jennings.
Did you?
Family.
You went there with the Jennings?
I went with the Jennings.
That's so funny.
I mean, I really went with his older sister, Jane.
You went with Jane.
But also with John.
Who I eventually dated.
Yes. Yes. So Jonathan's best friend, John.
Yeah.
So his older sister, Jane, was my good friend when we were in middle school and beginning of high school, I guess. Yeah. So we went to this game together and John would have been there. Yes. And then Jonathan later dated Jane.
Yep.
It's all just a
There's this
incestuous little
there is
Roanoke community.
Oh my gosh. That is Beth's cousin sent us this like home video once upon a time and we were watching it and it was from your Girl Scout trip to Europe.
Yeah.
And in the like it was from the airport, like waiting to board the plane. And it was like the weirdest video for me to be watching because that would have been the summer after ninth grade. And you were going on this Girl Scout trip.
I think it was the summer before ninth grade. Was it after?
It was after.
It was after.
Yeah, it was the summer after ninth grade. And there was footage of like the Girl Scout trip or troop there or whatever. And in your Girl Scout troop was a girl I was actually dating at that time.
Amelia.
Yes. And so they're like panning around and you could see like in the video, like me and Beth are watching this as a married couple and we're watching like this video though. And there's Amelia who in the video is my active girlfriend.
Yeah. I remember on this Girl Scout trip to Europe that she was looking for a present for her boyfriend, John Carlin.
That's
who she called you.
Yeah.
Which is funny because... You don't like to be called John.
I know, that's true. I know.
Must not have ever told her that you didn't like to be called that.
It's so funny because I don't remember her ever calling me John. So
I feel like she called you that. And I feel like she bought you a soccer ball when we were in Europe.
Oh, gosh. I don't remember that either.
Well, I feel like that's the present she got you.
Okay. Wow. That would have been good. It would have been good. I want to say maybe it like didn't. It got like lost or something. Like, I don't think I ever got it. But I know. Bummer. Anyway, what's really funny is that so we're watching this video and there's Amelia. And then also at the airport leaving for a separate overseas trip is the Jennings.
Yes. So, we like ran into them at the airport.
You ran into them at the airport. So me and you are watching this video and you and Amelia and Jane are all at the airport at the same time and in this video.
Yep.
It's just like, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable that three of my high school girlfriends are in this video right now. Yeah,
really
it was really funny. It was weird.
A fun fact about Jonathan is he was everyone's first boyfriend.
That is true. I didn't really intend for that to happen, but that was the case. I was Amelia's first boyfriend and Jane and yours. And yeah, I don't know why this was the case. I wasn't like
more
aiming
than that
for
too.
This.
He
more
just,
than that. I know.
He
I don't want
to.
I don't
want to
name.
All,
I don't want to.
It was like probably like 7 or 8.
I don't know why. There's clearly a quality about the girls I was attracted to, but
nice girls.
What?
Nice
yeah,
girls.
Just very nice girls, I guess. Yeah, it's very that was definitely my type for sure. yep. But I remember that was really funny. All of you guys were in that same little video together there. So anyway, what were we talking about? High school basketball.
Oh yeah, you didn't make the basketball team.
And that's like
Redick.
What? Yeah, JJ. So I came to find out. So JJ Redick's brother was in our grade, and I like him and a couple other guys in our grade were actually not at the tryouts that I was at because they were trying out for the high school JV team at the same time. So, I want to say maybe they didn't make it or not all of them made it, but the end result was that they basically all just had spots on the team already. So however many spots you thought there were, those were actually, some of them were already filled in. So, and then, yeah, I think there was just a bunch of other, yeah, little thing, basketball politics happening in there. And I was just some kid no one had ever heard of. So who cares? But I didn't make it. And it's like one of those things, though. I feel like my entire life would have been different if I did make that team, because it probably would have affected my friend group pretty drastically. Because even though I didn't make that team, I made the soccer team later that year. And then that sort of became like my friend group at the end of the year, finally. But yeah, I have no idea how different things would have been if I had made the basketball team or if you had made flag corps.
I know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? Sometimes you just don't know. So you didn't make flag corps, but you did do marching band.
So yeah. So I guess at that point I decided, well, I still want to be in the marching band. I really don't remember like the decision, but immediately I loved it. I don't even know if I can describe like what I loved about it. I just loved being part of this group. I loved that there was like a variety of ages. Like I remember looking up to like the seniors, and I remember like the senior drum major. I just thought she was so cool, and she was so nice, and she would always like see me in the halls and be like, "Hey Beth," like she like remembered my name.
Hey Beth.
And I just like thought she was the coolest. And
who was that?
Kelly Bradshaw.
Kelly Bradshaw.
Kelly Bradshaw.
Okay.
And like, yeah, I remember like all these seniors' names. Like Nora's older brother Mark was like one of the like trumpet leadership then, you know.
It's yeah.
Like funny looking back, you know, at like 17, 18 year old kids in marching band that I was like, they are so cool.
Right. Yeah.
But I just loved it.
When picture those kids, do you still imagine them being like way bigger than you?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
But it was like fun going to the football games. That was like such a fun part. And there were like different, like they called them stand tunes that you played. In the stands, like when they, you know, score a touchdown, or when you, when they score a touchdown, you play the fight song.
Right.
But of course, that you play when there's like timeouts and stuff. And then you have your halftime show that you had to like learn. You had to like learn how to march. And like, there's like this militaristic aspect of it where at first they just like teach you how to march, where you have to like follow like the commands, and like even that I really liked, like learning how to do all that. And then as it went along, now in high school marching band, we had suffered from the high school splitting the year before we went to high school.
So yeah.
Like the band director that was like long beloved, he went to the other high school.
Yeah.
So our band got a little smaller, and then the band director was there for 2 years, and then he left. Or maybe he was just there 1 year and then he left. And then they brought in this other lady who also more people left after that. So
yeah.
It got smaller and smaller. And like sophomore, junior year, it was like 20 kids maximum in the marching band.
It's a pretty small group.
It was pretty minimal. And like six of us were flutes, which is, it's not the ratio you would like.
You need the horns.
You really need the, yeah, you can really do without woodwinds at all, basically. Yeah,
they're just bodies to fill the field.
Yeah,
right,
what you need is like trumpets and drums and like baritones and all that. So
yeah, things that are gonna fill the air with sound.
Yes. Yeah. Loud things.
Loud stuff, yeah.
Not just high pitched.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a great marching band at that time, but I loved it. And I tried out to be the drum major, which is like it's a leadership role. It's like you conduct the band, but it's also very much like a leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that. I was the drum major my junior and senior year. So I very much felt very like loyal to the band, and like just like it was my thing.
It was like your responsibility.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I felt responsible for helping keep it going and stuff.
Exactly.
So. And then part of the reason I went to JMU is because they are known for having like an amazing marching band. And when I went there, like the flute section at JMU, or flute and piccolo together, was like 60 people. So it was already like bigger than the entire Cave Spring High School marching band.
Right, like just the flutes. Section.
The entire band was like 450 people.
Man.
It was huge.
Yeah.
And it was good. Like, there's a really big music program at JMU, so there's like a lot of people that they're music majors. They're either going to be band directors or performers. And so it was just so, so cool to be a part of.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you this then, because I feel like there's, like we were talking about, like there's probably a bunch of like politics and like the basketball scene at Cave mm-hmm. Spring. What are the unseen like marching band politics? What are the things everyone's just like, okay, did the flutes?
There's definitely stereotypes.
Okay,
like,
what were the
there are like section stereotypes.
What were the flute stereotypes?
Oh, the flute stereotype is that they are like prissy, that they are girly, prissy, maybe mm-hmm. a little snooty, mm-hmm. which I don't always
yeah,
meant to
yeah,
be
was
true.
It true? Yeah, how true was
stereotype.
It?
Stereotype. Like they're definitely like the girly, like the pretty girly section, you know. There was even in that like 60 person flute piccolo section at JMU, there was probably like three or four boys. It was right. the most
it's definitely
heavily
the highest.
Female.
Right.
I mean, but I think it comes with like sometimes being a little less fun, you know, like I think the flutes are like the high achieving girls.
Okay.
That tends to be the stereotype.
Okay.
The trumpets. Which, Jonathan, you played a trumpet.
I played the trumpet from 6th grade through 9th grade.
The trumpets are like rowdy boys, mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah. A little bit of a troublemakers.
Yeah,
they
sure.
are.
Sure.
They. But also that's like, yeah, you want to play this loud, showy instrument. Yeah, I mean, that kind of goes along with that.
I mean, there's not... When you're like, at least in my school, when you had to choose your instruments, there was like 5 you could choose from, more or less. You could be... trumpet or trombone for brass, or you could do clarinet, flute, or saxophone.
What
if
about
you were in the woodwinds?
Percussion.
Nope, couldn't try out for that.
You couldn't try out for that.
You could try out for that like by the end of like 7th grade.
Oh, okay. What about like baritone or tuba? Did you have to like start on trumpet?
You had to start on trumpet or trombone, and then I think 2 people you could try out for like the French horn, like again, like towards the end of 6th grade, mm-hmm. and there would be like 2 of them. There was no like tubas at all. Mm. Yeah, you really just had the 5 options to start.
Yeah,
and like the trombone just seemed, you know, giant.
And did you have to like start the clarinet to do the saxophone?
I don't know, because the woodwinds and the brass played in different classes.
You like, weren't even in the same class.
No. It was all brass. Because, well, oh. Franklin County was a much bigger school.
Okay.
And so, like, there was way more kids.
It's true. I have no idea how beginning band directors, like, get anything accomplished.
No idea.
Like, that is a tremendous job.
I remember, yeah, because so basically they would put you in, like, kind of like Hogwarts, where you had, like, the houses.
Yeah.
Like, we had teams
yeah.
that you were on. And so it was based on what your elective was. And so it was either brass, woodwind, choir, or art, and those were the 4 okay. the way your teams got sorted.
Okay, so probably yeah. more that probably does have the effect of having more boys do brass.
Yeah,
if when it's split like that.
Yeah, probably. So that was really how you get started. So I mean, you know, I don't think I had any real preconceptions about any of the instruments.
Gotcha.
Other than I probably thought flute was for girls.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that probably is a common
yeah
stereotype
that right
keeps it from expanding.
Yeah,
that you have yeah that people decide this when they're like 6th-7th graders, and that's
yeah and know, that's like yeah
maybe
the time
later in life you're a little more open-minded towards
yeah,
it, but
probably
it's a little too late. Yeah,
yeah, it's like too late then. Although I do remember, like, before concerts or whatever, your band class would get joined with the woodwinds, and then you have to, like, the entire class would be in the auditorium to practice.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. And that was always like a huge cluster, because, like, the, you know, you barely have room for your knees to hit the the seats in front of you, mm-hmm. but now you also had to fit in, you know, 200 music stands.
Yes.
And
yes.
everyone's
we'll try,
backpacks and yeah.
the 450 marching band when we had indoor rehearsals at JMU.
Why you would indoor rehearsal for a marching band?
You only had it for when it rained. It wasn't
sounds
like
a giant headache.
Yeah, and no, it was quite loud. You only did it when it rained.
Okay. So, but what that was the stereotypes.
Yeah, Well, wait, I just got through two.
Okay, just trumpets and flutes.
Trumpets and flutes, hang
okay,
on.
Okay, what else you got? What else you
well,
got?
Well, the drummers are like a little bit more, they're definitely like cool guys, but kind of like too cool for school, kind of like mm-hmm. a little more like,
yeah.
They're a little too cool for all this. But still definitely, I mean, they're like the heart of it, but like, you know, they have more of their own, like drumline is its own thing within
right.
the band.
Right. Like, well, I guess we have to be a part of the band because that's our like medium.
But like, obviously, like we are the elite like section.
Right. Right. The rest of you are here to support us.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trombones, I would say, are like the goofballs.
Goof. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what other, and then like the dance team is definitely like
mm-hmm.
the cheerleaders of the band. They are like the cool girls, very elite cool girls.
Right. Got it.
Very
versus,
much too
versus
cool for
the cheerleaders themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess they were around. I don't know. In college, like I never met a cheerleader. I don't. I mean, they existed.
They existed.
They were in the. But they were at the football games.
Yeah, they were at the football games. They were separate from the band.
Yeah, but yeah. like the dance team would practice
with the band
with us sometimes.
Yeah.
Clarinets,
saxophones.
They were kind of clarinets were heavily females, but not as much as flutes. Definitely not as prissy.
Mm-hmm.
And saxophones were a good mix. They were a good crew.
Just Hufflepuffs, yeah.
Linda Carr was in the saxophone MRDs with me.
Okay, Linda.
Yes, my friend, our good friend from high school,
yes.
Linda Carr.
Yep, Linda, I remember.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of the rundown of the stereotypes. Okay. Oh, and then at JMU, there was like a team of like four drum majors, and they are top tier. They basically like led rehearsals half the time too. It wasn't just, I mean, it was very much a leadership role. And when I tell you how badly I wanted to be one of these drum majors, I mean, I cannot tell you how much I wanted this job.
Yeah.
So much that I tried out for it, not just once, not just twice, but three times. Man. I tried out junior, senior, and my super senior year.
Man.
And to this day, one of the most embarrassing moments of my life was in one of those auditions.
Do tell.
Well, so to audition, part of it was that you had to sing and conduct the national anthem. You had to sing it while you conducted. And I, a singer, I am not.
But you had to go do this for your audition.
I had to do alone in a room with like a grad assistant
yeah.
and a camera.
Oh, man. So there's video evidence of this.
Oh, gosh.
Probably somewhere.
I pray that is deleted. So when the national anthem is in 3/4 time, if you know anything about time signatures, you know, 4/4 is different than 3/4.
Right.
You know, you got 1/2/3, 1/2/3, 1/2, that's 3/4.
That's 3/4.
4/4 is going to be 1/2/3/4, 1/2/3/4. Right. So I started conducting in 4/4 time for this 3/4 song.
Oh no.
Which is really bad.
Yeah, they were probably like, nope.
And I started singing the wrong lyrics. I started way too high. It was like, it was like so bad. In the middle of it, I just like wanted to cry. And I begged the grad assistant to delete it and let me, like literally, I'm like with tears in my eyes begging this guy to let me redo this. And,
yeah.
And he wouldn't let me. And
I wow.
was like, well, I knew that was it.
That was it. Yeah. Like, it ain't me.
Yeah. Honestly, it's probably for the best. I think it was a hard job. I don't think I probably had the skills to like lead a band rehearsal,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to really.
You wanted to real
I
bad.
Wanted to
be one of the drum majors.
I did.
At JMU. Yeah.
And then my junior year, we performed in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which was one of the highlights.
That's pretty exciting.
That was so cool. That was like a top 10 life moment.
I bet.
For sure.
So how? What? Like, walk me through that day.
Well, when you are in the parade, there is actually a parade run through at around 4:30 in the morning. Ooh. They like have every act, I guess. I guess it's not the balloons, but every act like gets to Herald Square is like the part in front of the Macy's building that is on TV with like the bleachers and stuff that you see when you watch the parade. So every performance had to get up to Herald Square and like do their step off, like their start. You didn't have to do the whole thing, but just like the start. I guess they run through everything, make sure everything's timed right for the cameras. I don't know. So it is a long day. So we had like a call at like 3 a.m. that morning in the ballroom of our hotel. And then it was very cold because it's Thanksgiving.
It was Thanksgiving in New York. Yeah.
So then we all had to go do that thing in the cold. And then you have to, I can't remember if we came back inside somewhere. I guess we did for maybe like an hour or two. And then you have to wait for like a good hour or something to wherever you line up. I can't remember where they had us line up to actually start the parade. But we were behind, a couple behind Miranda Cosgrove, which was cool.
Whoa.
She was in the parade that
year. That's cool.
She was singing or something.
Yeah, I think she sings.
And then we were directly behind Shrek.
Oh, the balloon. So you get to stare at Shrek's butt the whole time?
Yes, we were right behind Shrek. And so there's like two songs. We rotated between playing the song Sing, Sing, Sing.
Okay.
Which is like the da 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 da. That song.
Yeah.
So we played that song and then we played the JMU fight song. Like we rotated those two songs for, I can't remember. I want to say the parade route is like 2 or 3 miles.
Man, that's a long, yeah.
It's a long way.
Right.
And you just like march in between and then you like play the song. There's like a certain drum roll off you listen for and then you play your songs. So it's a long way to like hold your instruments and march. And
oh my gosh, yeah. I feel like you got to really be like breathing, especially with like the flute. I feel like you're losing a lot of breath.
It's not a physical activity.
Right.
But it was so cool. Like marching through Times Square was just like a core memory.
Yeah, like that's so cool.
Being in there. The woodwinds are often in the back, especially the flute and piccolo.
Okay.
Like we said before, they want the loud instruments up front. That's what they, you know, that's what the important parts are. But they still let you be a part of things, but you know, you're really not as essential to the mm-hmm. whole ordeal.
So, you're just bodies on the field. Yeah, so making
we were
the shapes.
Way in the back. And then when we got up to like Herald Square, I remember that we had like a little downtime for just a second before our performance started. And we're pulling out like our digital cameras out of our uniform, which is like in a pocket in the overall. So you're like got your jacket and then you're like pulling out your digital camera. We're like taking pictures. And then all of a sudden we didn't hear the kickoff and we're like going and we're trying to put our cameras away. And I always felt a little dumb about that. So it was like, oh my gosh, we're actually up here doing the thing.
Right.
We're not ready.
Made it all the way here.
I know, but you know what? Watching the performance back, which we could link, by the way.
Oh, we could. We can find it.
I can send it and you can put it in the
description. Okay, yeah. Send it to Kat.
If anyone cares to see. You can't see me, though. You can see the band, but you cannot actually see me. I never made it.
Oh.
The majority of the screen is taken up by the dancers.
Oh.
And then, but you do like a little like halftime show. Like there is like a, like sets we had to like learn and like march. Okay. And then we take off. And we got it was like a commercial break. So we immediately went into the JMU fight song and we got a little of the JMU fight song on NBC that morning.
So oh, nice.
That was fun.
Very fun. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have they been back since? Do you know?
Yes, they have. Once or twice.
Oh, man. All right. So just, they're like regulars, basically. Yeah. The parade on Thanksgiving. Yeah. Be on the lookout. Pretty good. Let's see. But then I feel like you've told me stories too about like how the band at JMU was so big that there would be like alternate spots and that could get like weirdly squirrely.
It got bigger even as we went. Like I think things like the parade, you know, attracted more people to
right,
the band.
Sure.
And some, like, I know my friends that were in the Virginia Tech band, like, Virginia Tech was capped at, like, I want to say, like, 375 or something. Like, that was the maximum amount. And they did tryouts at the beginning of the season. And if you either made the cut or you didn't.
So right.
And you were out. So JMU is different in that everyone got to be in. You all got to do it. But they still only, like, wrote the drill and had spots for, like, I don't know, 450 people or something. And say there was, like, 480 people in the band. So that means there would be 30 spots that were considered alternates.
Okay.
So they would stand up front when we performed the show. And say if someone was sick or something or was going to miss a weekend for something, they could like learn
fill
that
in.
Drill that week and kind of fill in, which is kind of hard to do because you have to remember like a lot of different positions. It's not the easiest thing, but you can kind of follow the people around you and stuff a little bit. But yeah, like the flute section, my senior year, it was kind of rough because they decided to kind of tighten up restrictions for things. And they made everyone audition. And then it was like 12 of the seniors are who ended up being the alternates based on these auditions. And people were mad
because
it had not been like that. And I could kind of see it both ways. Like, I understand you want like high standards, but also like, you know, these are the seniors that have done it for 4 years.
Right. Now they're not getting to perform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't like lead to a great vibe.
Mm-hmm. I see some animosity.
Yeah. And then also it was like the flute section and the trumpet section were the same size, but the trumpet section had like one alternate and the flutes had like 15.
Ah, right. Because they're the loud ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That is tricky. But you weren't an alternate.
Well, I wasn't, but my super senior year was when I broke my leg. So I had, and I did not quit the marching band because I loved it that much.
Yeah.
So I stood with the alternates.
Nice. Look at you go.
Yes. Because I didn't want to quit.
Have to keep going.
Because I loved it. A lot of people don't do it their super senior year. They move on with their lives. But I would still be in the march band if there was a way for me to do it.
I know. It's hard to be. It's like one of those things that like once college is over, it's really hard to be in an adult marching band.
Yeah.
Right.
There's not many. I think someone told me the Baltimore Ravens have like a.
I think they have like paid adult marching band people.
Yeah, because I think one of my friends was in college was in it.
Well, that's cool.
So maybe if we ever move to Baltimore,
yeah
I could be a Ravens marching
there you go
member.
You can, it's not too late. we could just be huge Ravens people.
They do an alumni band, which I actually have not done, which is funny.
Oh, that is funny.
At JME, like I could do the alumni band 1 year.
Yeah, like just like go out and like perform again or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember that. I feel like I mean going to enough Hokie games, I feel like there is usually like a alumni day.
Yeah.
Where some old band members get to come back and do their thing again.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I suppose who knows, maybe one day we'll move to Baltimore and you know, you can be in the marching band again. It'll be great. Right. It'll be splendid. I'll go if you get us free tickets to the games, then that'll be pretty cool, you know.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'll
be
a
down
Ravens
for that.
Fan.
I could that'd be pretty hard. They're right next to the Commanders. But you know, I would go to the, you know what? It is never a bad day to be in an NFL football game.
Sure,
is
sure.
What I have learned in my times. Almost any professional sporting event you can go to is just a blast.
Yeah.
Typically, even if you're just unaffiliated with the teams. But if you are affiliated
with
the teams.
They are play like the colleges though, I think are like having to fight against, they are playing more like just music piped into the stadiums versus
the bands.
So, you know, if this is giving me a platform for anything,
yeah,
it's like support your local marching band.
You
know what? Tell those college stadiums.
Yeah.
You want to hear the band.
Turn down for what?
Not,
the marching band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, guys. Well, I think that is going to do it for us today here on The Pop. But thank you so much for joining us and answering all of my questions about your life and
You're
our
welcome.
Dating.
Hopefully that was entertaining to someone.
Hopefully. Sorry I made you cry about my bad basketball skills. guys, as always, thank you for your support over here. If you want to sign up on the Patreon, we're currently in the process of making our next quarterly merch, which is going to be a calendar for next year. We're going to be doing some like fun photo shoots for that. I am very excited about it. That's over on the Patreon. There's a link in the description down below.
I'm just learning about this.
Oh yeah, we're going to do a calendar. Yeah, what do you think we should do? What do you have any ideas for that?
Boy, I'm just hearing about.
You're just
it.
Hearing about it off the top of your head, you know. What makes for a good popcorn culture calendar? Exactly. It's going to be really good. but thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time.
Pop, pop.
Yeah.
Pop. Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Attention all small biz owners. At the UPS store, you can count on us to handle your packages with care. With our certified packing experts, your packages are properly packed and protected. And with our pack and ship guarantee, when we pack it and ship it, we guarantee it. Because your items arrive safe or you'll be reimbursed. Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today.